right. As I start every Wednesday, this week's game captain will be Ataba Rubin, another good choice. Kind of a quiet, dependable guy, leads by example. Although I'll give you one little story. In the offseason, it was during an OTA practice. Some new players came in, and around their area after practice, things got a little sloppy. So as I was making my swing through the locker room later in the day, I saw on each person's chair a kind of a printed off sheet that said, you know, don't be a pig, take care of your area, you know, kind of a reminder to some of these guys. Well, my first reaction was, is it was Brad's crew that did it, the equipment guys. Well, come to find out, it was Ruben that did that, which, you know, is a little bit of a, you know, it's a little thing, but he is a, he's a guy that leads by example, and he's quiet, and he thinks about things, and he understands what's important, and in his mind, it was important to give a few guys a reminder, and so I appreciated that about him. So that's one little thing that you can go with. Other than that, I think he's a very fine football player, so it's a good choice. Other than that, we're getting ready to play the Giants. And again, we'll get our team as good as we can be and then make every effort to go to New York and get our first victory. And I think that's what's most important. So beyond that, I'll take your questions.
Pat, as far as your wide receivers and their injuries, do you expect Cribbs to practice today?
Again, you know, I do this every week. Thanks for asking the question so I can say it. I don't want to talk about injuries, but Cribbs will be out there. I'm not going to talk about injuries. Thanks for asking again.
No, I mean just in terms of practicing.
We'll see.
Okay.
I'll let the afternoon injury report speak for what's going on.
Hey, when you look at that Giants defense, I know the front four gets a lot of credit for how good they are. Mm-hmm. What are that challenge and then the other challenges that Brandon's going to have to deal with that defense?
Well, I think they play good team defense, which is very important, and I think they do a good. It all starts up front, obviously disrupting the run, and then when you drop back to pass, getting pressure on the passer. It all starts there, but they do a good job. They do play a lot of zone coverage. You know, they do mix in their man coverage in situations, but then they don't mind pressuring on all downs and in any part of the field. So I think that's the. Those are the components of a good defense. They feel okay rushing four, but they don't mind trying to get pressure with more than four. And then they play a coverage that's very fundamental.
Is Joe Thomas' knee bothering him? He's getting more holds and false starts this year than in the past.
No, I don't think his knee's bothering him. And I don't know about the other premise, you know. Joe's battling just like everybody up front.
What kind of we've been watching in awe of Phil Dawson over the last couple of years. I mean, what kind of a weapon has he become for you guys?
Well, it goes without saying. I mean, he plays a position where he scores points, and when we don't get it in the end zone, he's been very, very dependable about making his kicks, whatever the distance. And I think that's awesome. And there's a lot of games when it's the conditions are less than ideal to kick field goals, you know, and I think there's something about Phil. Phil's a winner, and he's been able to do it over the years for a very long time. And in my time here in Cleveland, I've gained a huge appreciation for Phil. He and I talk frequently, I really appreciate really everything he brings to the table. He's a pro, and I can't imagine – there's really a better kicker anywhere else. I think we're really blessed to have him as our kicker.
You spoke a couple weeks ago when Sheldon was going through with the next dinger and everything about the appreciation you have for him. I don't know the statistic, but he has to be one of the older, top two or three older corners in the league. My question is, how does a guy like that at that age continue to perform to where he can start in the league? And do you, as players get older, they have to treat their bodies differently.
Yeah, I think experience kind of trains you on how you get yourself right each Sunday. And, you know, he's got a great deal of experience. He understands his body. He knows how he fits in the scheme. And, you know, you just get a feel for it. You know, as we get older, we find a way to park closer to the door. You know, I don't know. You know, you'd have to ask him some of the specifics. What I evaluate is on game day if he's ready to play. You know, and I think, you know, he finds a way to get that done.
Has his style changed over the years? Have you seen, like, you see sometimes as guys get older, they adjust?
I think he's adjusting a little bit, but I still think he can be very productive. You know, I think that's fair to say about all players that, I don't want to say age, but mature or gain experience, let's say.
Some experimentation in the secondary with Joe Hayden out the last few weeks, and this will be his last game out. Talk a little bit about what you've seen in, you know, where you're at now with the secondary and what you've seen from what you've learned from that kind of experimentation at this point of the season. And also, real quick, you know, talk a little bit about the challenges that the Giants, you know, present in wide receivers and so forth.
Yeah. Well, I think we're dealing with a couple of different situations with the secondary. Of course, Joe being out is one, so that causes us to have to juggle. And then we've had some injuries, you know, that we've had to deal with as well. And then we've played, you know, different types of teams, some that play in a situation where we're playing three corners, and then we've played a couple of teams that are more base. And so what it's given us is an opportunity to see some of these other guys compete for a full game and then have to play at a high level. And so we've learned a great deal about the guys on our roster. And I think our guys have been forced to adjust in a lot of ways. And I'm pleased at the way they compete. All right? Our guys fight hard. I think that can be said. Now we just got to make sure we play better.
And how tall of a task is it for them to go up against Eli, who's second in the league in passing yards right now?
Well, it's a big challenge. I think I mentioned it yesterday. You know, that offense runs through Eli, and there's games, man, where he gets hot. He gets real hot. And, you know, I was involved in over 20 of these games when I was in Philadelphia, and I watched that happen a lot of times. And he can be dangerous. So it's a big challenge. You know, I think we've faced outstanding quarterbacks. And we're going to face outstanding quarterbacks most every game we play. And then each guy within their skill set presents different threats to the defense. And we just got to make sure we do a good job of trying to get pressure on them. You got to disrupt any quarterback. Eli's no different. And then we got to challenge the receivers. I think that's fair to say.
Just like we talked about. Eli's one of those guys, just like you talk about with Joe Flacco, that early in his career he got a lot of criticism, a lot of questions were asked about him, but two Super Bowls later and just one of the more prolific passers. What makes him, you know, so special and so good?
Well, I think I appreciate about, whether it's coaches or players, the resiliency that they display. He's pretty resilient, you know. I think he has a way. He must have a way where he shuts out what people think and he just goes in place. And I have a great deal of respect for coaches and players that have found a way to win championships, and he's done that twice. And so, you know, again, I don't read what they say about him. All I can do is watch what he does on tape and see the way his team wins.
His numbers in the fourth quarter last year, I don't know, we had a bunch of comeback wins. What can you attribute that to?
Well, I think he in his own mind knows he can lead his team to victory. And when he steps in the huddle, the other guys believe it. And they found a way to get it done.
As Richardson's low per carry average, and the question is, do you expect that, or what gives you indications to expect that he might be a more dynamic player as you get into the next leg of the season?
Well, I think he's going to be, we all know that he started the year and was less than 100%. I think he's getting, or he's at a place physically where he needs to be. And, you know, the rush per carry thing, you know, we'll talk about that as we go along. I'm sure you're going to quote me on that every week now. But I do think that we kind of got a feel for what types of runs he's good at. And the one thing I will say about Trent, and you've heard me say this a bunch of times, it's about points, and he finds a way to get in the end zone. And that's what's important.
Is that something that's kind of natural? Or is that, I mean, it just seems like you said, even the past couple of games, things haven't necessarily gone how you wanted to, but he's, when you've been down there, he's found the end zone.
Some guys have it, and some guys don't. You know, there's a lot of guys that can get you up and down the field, and then, well, you've seen. You know, there's running backs that can get you up and down the field, and then there's other ones when you give it to them, or I will point to, we've thrown it to Trent quite a bit where he's had great production. With the ball in their hands, and they kind of see where they fit in all the, you know, the whole deal, and they find a way to get in the end zone. And he has that ability.
Does it take more time for an offensive line that's got young players and new players to mesh in run blocking than it maybe does for pass blocking? And talk a little bit about where you feel like your offensive line is right now in terms of effectiveness, run blocking versus pass blocking.
Yeah, I think those run parallel, run blocking, pass blocking. It all runs parallel. And everything's connected, and I think we're progressing. I think we're getting better, and that unit has played together now for, you know, they've been all together now for a month of regular season games, and so I anticipate they'll even take a big jump as we move forward.
I asked you about Joe Thomas earlier. Do you think he's playing as well as he did last year?
Yeah, Joe's a steady performer. Joe plays extremely well.
Dawson's range effect strategy?
It doesn't. But if we happen to get stopped further out, you know, you kick more field goals than you punt. You know, but when we're not calling plays with the idea that it's okay to stop here because Phil can make it from here, you know, yeah. No, but, you know, I don't think that goes into it. You know, in fact, Phil did tell me one time, and this was one of the conversations Phil and I had. Well, typically when you kick a field goal, you know, I'm like, you know, field goal, you know. So Phil said, Pat, that's a bad visual for me, you know. And I said, well, all right, I'll try to get better there, you know. Because you're frustrated you didn't make it on third down, you know, or you're upset with it. So he's standing next to you and you go, you know. It sounded funnier when he and I were talking about it,
you know. Have you been amazed by his range, though? I mean, he's gotten, as he's gone along in the years, it seems like he's further and further back he goes.
I don't know. I think I trust him. And I think you're seeing field goals around the league being made at a higher percentage. You know, some of you probably have the statistics on that, but, you know, the whole snap, hold, kick being automatic, we're seeing that happen.
63. Have you calculated whether you would consider using him from that kind of a distance if the situation called for it?
Yeah. I mean, if it's a situation where we need to win the game and the clock is the way where it makes sense to kick that field goal, then you do it, you know.
I think I've seen him kick 65 in practice.
He can kick it there. As we know, the conditions need to dictate it as well, where you're at on the field and what the weather's like.
Granted, to have a kicker, because you look around the league, and I know they're making them at a higher percentage, but you see a lot of missed field goals as well, and it doesn't seem like Tolman misses much.
Nope. That's on my list. I don't take anything for granted. Nope.
Here's the guest question here for somebody else. I know your focus is on the guest question. I'm asking for someone else.
Okay. This is going to be a beauty then, I imagine.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to put your name on it. I got it.
No, it's
not. Marty's working on, yeah, okay.
Obviously, your focus is on the NFL, but are you amazed by some of the scores coming out of college football this season? I mean, some of these games, the Baylor game last week, 70-63. And is there anything that you can draw from that?
No, it's amazing. I mean, it just goes to show you that our game is a little bit different than the game in college. I mean, when do you see that happening? You know, I think we saw a 52-point game this weekend. But, you know, it's different. You know, how college defenses play probably dictates more why the scores are the way they are. And I believe that, you know. I know this. Pro defenses challenge everything, and it makes it tougher. And, again, statistically I'll have to find out. But it seems like there's a lot of low scores going into half this year. You know, you see a lot of 10-3s, 10-7s, you know, 14-10. You know, and then all of a sudden there's some scoring in the second half. But it does amaze me. You know, this weekend, what was it, Geno Smith, West Virginia, what, he had 8 touchdown passes? Holy smokes, you know. So, no, it is amazing, though.
Couple more guys?
I don't think you've had the chance to oppose Pierre Paul yet in the game. Mm-hmm. What do you see on tape there? And some people say he reminds them of Strahan. Do you see that?
Yeah, I do. I remember Strahan extremely well, and I remember the Strahan-Runyon battles. And, yeah, he does in a lot of ways. First of all, when you see him physically, he's – you know, those are the kind of defensive ends you want to draft, of course. And he's got fresh legs. He plays extremely hard. And he's very effective against the run as he is against the pass, which I think Strahan was. Just an outstanding football player. And he's on the beginning part of his career. So.
I have one more question on Ruben. When he came in here the first year, you know, low-round draft pick, you know, maybe said 5 words the first year was here. Now that total may be up to 10. Who knows? But, you know.
About 8.
Yeah. And, you know, continues to be very quiet. He's a good player. Doesn't beat his chest and celebrate every time he makes the play. Just walks back to that huddle. Is he kind of a throwback?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about throwback. That's a better question for Doug Deacon back there. But I will say he's the kind of guy as a coach you appreciate because – you know, I talked to the players today. It's about finding 53 guys and 20-some-odd coaches and that are dependable. And I think you can say that about him. He's very dependable. He's not late for anything. He busts his tail. He practices. He plays. And he does all the things that you want the other players that are maybe struggling to get to that point. You say, hey, watch this guy do it. And so, if that's the definition of a throwback, then maybe so.
You focus on the present and who you're playing this week and things of that nature. Tonight, the NFL Network's, you know, showing the Browns special from 1995, and it's going to focus on the people that came through here that year and have been very successful in the move. And that is that something that you encourage your players to watch to get a history of the franchise and maybe why it's fans are the way they are and things of that nature?
We're going to have to catch up on that after the season. You know, I think this time of year, you don't have much time to read books and watch movies, you know, and I'll be made aware of what goes on, you know, in that special this evening, and I'll be made aware of it. But I think the history of the organization is important. I think it's important that our guys have a feel for who the great players were that played here. But as we move forward, I'm more concerned about the 2012 Browns right now. And again, the first part of your question was, I know you're worried about right now, and you're right.
Nate, last one.
Can
you talk to Brandon on Monday? He emphasized the importance of getting Trent Richardson the ball a couple times. Obviously, that's important. But you know, catches and runs the last 2 games, 18 apiece. Is an ideal situation, would he have more? And is that because you guys fell behind early that he didn't have more?
Well, you know, I'm not going to pin myself down to a number. It's important he touches the football, and it's important he's involved throughout the game. That's important. That's fair, yeah.
Is it safe to say you're not making a roster move today, or are we going to find out later?
Gosh, I'm going to give him everything. As I sit here right now, no. But I give you that. Yeah. There are no plans right now. We'll see, though.